Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the WFNY Cornercast, a podcast that takes an in-depth look at the Cleveland Guardians baseball team and farm system. Presented to you by the WaitingForNextYear.com network of podcasts. Here are Gerbs, Mitch, and Ethan.
Welcome to the WFNY Cornercast. I am your host, Joe Gerbs Gerberry, on here with Farmer Ethan. Ethan, we took last week off. And you have not been with us in quite a bit. Last we heard, you were tending your livestock during the great Columbus blackout of 2022. How are you doing? The time off has not gotten rid of your nickname. I'm sorry. You objected to it, so therefore it has stuck. If you had been apoplectic about it or anything, or just okay with it, it would have gone away, but you immediately shot back on Farmer Ethan, and you're stuck with it now. So,
I just hope you and Mitch really enjoyed the lovely, fluffy text messages that you guys got in the downtime since I listened to the podcast last week, just or 2 weeks ago, just to kind of get a grasp on where things were and what was talked about. But
I didn't know you could send that many middle finger emojis in a text message without like the authorities being called or something. But
well, it's not Twitter. I don't have the character limit anymore.
Right. There you go. That works.
But I do genuinely feel like I've been gone forever.
So I know.
It's nice to be back in the chair. It's nice to be back on the mic.
Yes. Last week we just had a scheduling conflict. We tried to do it on the like getaway day or whatever the day game is of the week, if it's Wednesday or Thursday, and I was unavailable last Wednesday because I was at Cedar Point, and then Thursday was the NBA draft rather, and the Cavs cast guys got on and did it, so we just were a little cramped for time, and so we just called it a week. And Mitch is off. Mitch is on vacation for the next two, so it's gonna be just me and the farmer for this week and next. And moving on from your great, fantastic nickname. Don't forget, guys, we have BreakingTea.com /WFNY. There are two shirts that I want to point out for all of you Guardiac kids. How do you feel about Guardiac kids? We know how you feel about Farmer Ethan. Guardiac kids in? No?
Oh, absolutely. I'm all in on the Guardiac Kids.
Guardiac Kids is great. I'm with it as well. But the purveyor of it last night, Josh Naylor, all the smoke shirt on there. I have one that is incoming to my home as we speak. Hopefully it is not too very long, and I will have it in my possession. And they actually just dropped a new shirt. I don't know if you've seen this one yet or not, Ethan. I can find a pic for you. Do you remember when the Guardians played the Dodgers on the Apple TV Friday night game?
I do.
Apple TV Plus game. And Jose was mic'd up, and he's yelling at Freddie Freeman from the dugout. Did you see this video?
Oh, I adore this video, and if this is a shirt, I
yeah. It literally, they made a shirt of, you're one of the best hitters, after me. And it's got Jose's face on it. So it's fantastic.
I'm going after that one. That's going to be my closet come next week.
There is nobody better than Jose Ramirez. But as you are shopping for your Guardians tees, your All the Smoke Josh Naylors, you are one of the best hitters after me. Don't forget checking out BreakingTea.com /WFNY. I think you can get 10% off possibly using that. We also get a little kickback on that too. So. Yeah, it wasn't just Josh Naylor though that helped out and made this series with the Twins a success. Big five-game series with the Twins coming off a sweep by the Boston Red Sox. Josh Naylor had the big walk-off last night. I wish we could have said All-Star Andres. We have to go back to Everyday Andres. But Everyday Andres with the Andres Jimenez with the walk-off home run today. I was picking up my girls and had the game on and literally fist bumping as my wife was trying to figure out why I was wildly gesticulating in the car as he got the home run today to get the series win. How do you feel about the series win against the Twins today, or this week rather? Five games in 4 days was rough, but it was a big stretch against the division, the team that's ahead of us in the division right now.
I think you can say, you know, that many games in that many days is tough about the entire month of June for Cleveland. They played 28 games in 30 days, which is absolutely ludicrous. but the series win is surprising. They really felt like they lost some wind out of their sails after that Sunday game in Minnesota, the 1-0 shutout where the wheels just fell off in the seventh inning. We were all questioning Terry Francona's decision to not substitute in anybody with the bases loaded and nobody out for Ernie Cole, Miles Straw. But even after
ice cold does not quantify Miles Straw. This is Captain America, like, trapped in ice.
He is Coors Rocky Mountain cold right now.
Like, and Phil Coulson couldn't get Miles Straw out of the ice right now.
Ice, Miles Straw. Right,
there you go.
Despite the sweep at the hands of the Red Sox, you know, that was four games in a row after the incredible stretch that they were on. It really felt like the momentum was leaving them. That Boston team is scorching hot at the moment. Frankly, they're so talented that they're going to keep that up the rest of the season. But to come into this series where... and first of all, just the individual games that happened in the series has one of those Jason Stark because baseball tweets about some of the statistics all over it. But to take 3-5 in a series that the Twins could have left with a 10-game lead in the division and they have a 1-game lead is absolutely hilarious to me at this point in June heading into July.
Yeah, the win probabilities have been tweeted about joyously across Guardians Twitter. What was it? So in the Twins' last five losses to Cleveland, they had win probabilities as high. This is per Aaron Gleeman on Twitter, so at Aaron Gleeman. 92, 98, 82, 95, and 89%. Obviously, win probabilities are somewhat of a they hold whatever weight you want to give them, because obviously those games were losses for the Twins, but if they'd be up, they'd be up by 11 games right now. They are only leading by one, so pretty good series for Cleveland to be able to do what they did to Minnesota and in the way that they did it. Just really breaking the backbone of that bullpen. Emilio Pagan is a scarred man, I think, now. I think he sees Josh Naylor's hair coming at him in his sleep. Last night, I think, really hurt the team more today than anything because they burned out Duran. Is it Duran or Duran?
I think it's Duran. Duran.
Yeah, Joan Duran, because he pitched at least 32 pitches last night on Wednesday, and then was probably more than likely unavailable today. And they were not going to
throw out Pagan.
They were not going to throw out Pagan today. No way were they going to try that. So,
which brought us today's bum, Tyler Thornton.
Right, Tyler Thornburg was out there.
Or Thornburg, that's it.
Thornburg. Yeah, you know, like the... not the wild thornberries. That's always I think of whenever I see thorn B something, wild thornberries. But the hitting has been down this series. It hasn't been the offensive explosions that we've seen against the Twins, but especially today, they couldn't get there. It was as though the Twins were saying, here's this game on a silver platter, and the guards just couldn't take it until the very end. But, you know, they got the win, and they got a big one. So
coming up next. Can we talk about specifically how weird today's game was for a second?
I would love to talk about it. Go for it.
It was a 5-3 walk-off win for Cleveland. They drew first blood on a bases-loaded walk. The Twins which took a 3-1 lead.
Which, if you were listening to the radio broadcast, as I was, and I know you were, Tom Hamilton called that walk like it was Josh Naylor's home run the night before.
He did. He was very... That's the most excited I've ever heard a man about a walk. It was certainly something to behold. But Cleveland had 3 hits today. They scored 5 runs. They had 16 total base runners in this game, despite 3 hits. They drew 10 walks, 2 players were hit by a pitch, and 1 reached on an error. Of those 3 hits, Ice Baby Miles Straw hit a 2-run single. Technically, I think he was only credited with a single and 1 run because it was a throwing error by Carlos Correa trying to go to third base that allowed the tying run to score. Regardless, the first 6 walks that Cleveland drew in this game were all off of Chris Archer, all of them with 2 outs.
Yeah.
Which you would think is the winning combination for this team that slays baseballs with 2 outs and runners in scoring position.
Right. The contact kings, the Guardians, would be able to get something across. But
we were once again reminded that this team only clocks in after the 7th inning.
Right. They wake up when they hear take me out to the ball game.
That's it. That's the magic right there. They play that at every ballpark. When teams stop playing that, that Russian sleeper agent switch is just going to not trigger, and they're going to go back to mediocrity.
I like the idea of the Manchurian candidate, like just glazed eyes, like click over, like we must win now.
Did somebody say Cracker Jacks? I have a home run to hit.
The game is afoot. Almost got you to spit out your drink. That was great for me. I appreciate that. Okay, yeah, cool.
Thank you for that.
I don't know. Yeah, today was just a weird, weird, weird game, but we'll take it as fans. I'm sure they will take it as a team and get some closer to this big weekend series with the Yankees where they come in. I don't actually know. I didn't do any research on who is pitching what. I think the team is going to end up facing Cole, possibly, which does stink a little bit. Garrett Cole's just great. You want to avoid him as much as you can. But, you know.
The one I'm actually nervous for is I know for sure they are going to draw Nestor Cortez, who has been absolutely wild. So they have Garrett Cole tomorrow, July 1st, against Aaron Civale. It's Nestor Cortez against Tristan McKenzie on Saturday. And then Jordan Montgomery takes on Zach Plesac on Sunday.
Montgomery will be a lefty, so I'll be a little bit tougher. Anyway, Cole is going to be interesting. I'm actually less worried about Nestor as a Nestor fantasy owner. He's been him and Tristan going on Saturday. If it's a warm day, like I think it's going to be, you're going to see some moonshots that day. And Nestor has been giving up a lot of long balls as of late. So, and unfortunately so has Tristan as will be mentioned later on in the podcast. So, let's get moving along.
B plus T's. I'll give you that.
You know, I'm getting there. I never did radio growing up, but I listened to a lot of it. So
we're getting better every week. That's the goal. Getting
better, you know, it's that 1% better every week. So, we are just about to July. We have, I think, just a few more hours until it's July, which means All-Star voting is coming close to an end. Jose, our lovable bowling ball, is a third base finalist at third base, which would Makes sense. Unfortunately, All Star Andres was left off. Ethan was bemoaning the finalists at second base. We all knew Jose Altuve was going to get at least some of the look, but not that that second place person was going to was lining up to be Andres, and that ended up going to Santiago Espinal. So it's looking right now that, I mean, we're expecting Class A to be nominated for the pitching side. That's for the coaches, but Jose is the lone hitter at this point in time, it seems, unless there's injuries or a fluke that Andres makes the lineup. What do you think about Jose being the lone hitter on the Guardians All-Star roster?
I mean, it was kind of obvious, right? The guy that leads the American League in home runs, he has more extra base hits than strikeouts, hitting about 300. He should be, frankly, one of the top vote getters in the AL behind maybe Trout and Otani, who just have.
And I think he is, isn't he?
Well, he was behind Devers at the three-quarter update before the first round results went live.
Gotcha.
And he was not that far ahead of him at that update. I think he only had him by about 100,000 votes. So, I mean, even in the second round, that's going to be a heavyweight bout.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. It's one of those things where, you know, now that he's signed here long term, we've gone from the baseball community of Jose watch, where is he going to go back in spring training, to now he's back in Cleveland. Nobody's paying attention to him. And it hurts stock like this. In the grand scheme of thing, it means nothing. It's a nice career, you know, little merit badge for him, and it gets him a nice bonus, I'm sure, as part of his contract. But you know,
gets a little AS at the end of his baseball reference line item for his season.
Yeah, and if in one of his plate appearances he hits a home run, he might leave with a nice Ford F-150. But
right,
you know, at the end of the day, this is a team that's building and growing and is looking to open a championship window again. So I think it was pretty obvious that Jose, who is leaps and bounds better than everybody not named Andrés Giménez on the roster offensively, this was pretty much a gimme.
Yeah. I was really hoping, pulling for Andres to make it, but as I said in our Discord, it was expected that he wasn't going to be make it, but it is without a doubt a travesty that will cause psychological damage going forward. So
I'm not here to diminish Santiago Espinal, but if you just put their Fangraphs page side by side, the story tells itself, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're fighting against Canada, and we've all known that you can't fight against Canada, right? I don't know. That's not a thing. Anyway,
I'm not touching that.
I don't. Yep, that's, we're getting into international waters now, and it's one.
Yeah, thing. I'm not trying to start an incident. No.
It's one thing when I can make fun of Pittsburgh for the garbage city that it is, and in the garbage state that Pennsylvania is. It's another thing when I'm going after a whole other country. So
we'll circle back when we start a hockey podcast, and we can make fun of the Maple Leafs.
Absolutely. Next topic, next subject: Stars and Scrubs. One of the holdovers that we're just gonna keep this going. This is what I like. What Mitch brought this up as a topic, and I liked it, so we're gonna keep this as a thing. So, my star for the week, I'll start because I don't have yours on my sheet. You sent it to me, but I forgot who it was. Andrés Giménez. I put him actually for the whole month of June. I got his stats for June because he's been absolutely fantastic. 157 WRC plus through June. He raised his walk rate 6.4%. Still not Jose levels, not Kwan levels, but when you're clocking in at like a 2 or a 3%, doubling it, tripling it in a month is great. Significant drop in the K rate. He's down to 14.9 from, I had it and I lost it because I went to game log. His March and April, it was 24.5. 22.9 through May, 14.9 in June. So you can just tell, seeing the ball better, doing those kind of things that we talked about early in the year, where he's going to start moving away from a little bit more of the power hitter that he was. Obviously, today he had his home run, so these stats aren't up to date. Fangraphs doesn't update them that quickly. But what he's losing a little bit in slug, he's picking up for an on base. That keeps those numbers pretty much even to where he was. And yeah, he should have been an all-star. Andres was my star of the week, star of the month, however you want to put it. So go ahead.
I want to follow up on Andres, because what he's doing is absolutely incredible, not just this month. Are you ready for some fun season stats?
Absolutely.
We have named him Everyday Andres, and for the longest time this season, he was platooned against lefties Andres, which none of us enjoyed, and it drove me endlessly insane.
And not just you, but yes.
Everybody. But have we maybe visited those lefty-righty splits? Would you like to know what those are?
Shoot.
He has now started 6 consecutive games against a left-handed pitcher. His lefty-righty splits are almost identical for the season. He is hitting 309, 354, 493 against lefties. All right, for a guy who can't hit lefties, that's pretty solid. He's hitting 313, 358, 519 against righties. I think the guy can just hit.
Yep.
Now, putting that all together and why he should be an all-star, Andres Jimenez, with 2 outs and runners in scoring position, is hitting 429, 467, 929 slugging, with a 293 WRC+.
Yeah, they call him Captain Clutch for a reason, man.
Those are video game numbers, my friends.
Yes, that's MLB The Show numbers, so.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go ahead and get your star of the week, star of the month. I didn't give you a date. I just used Andre's month number because I wanted to extol his praises. So give me your star of the week.
My star of the week, and apologies in advance to anybody listening in the Twins. My star of the week is Emilio Pagan, Twins late inning reliever. And it is deserved, and I have some very fun things for this. Pagan faced the Guardians 3 times in this series. In this series, Cleveland slashed 286, 500, 429 against him as a team.
500? 500 on base?
500 on base percentage. That's fantastic. And he had an ERA of 21.6. So it was not pretty. But for the season,
you could flip a coin and you get on base.
Pretty much. It is what it was for him. But in the season series so far, Pagan has made 7 total appearances against the Guardians. The team is slashing 346, 414, 692 on the season. He has allowed 12 runs with a 15.19 ERA. He has been so bad against Cleveland that he has added a total 1.18 win probability added.
I was going to say, I hope you found that, because as soon as you brought that up, I was like, I saw that tweet. Emilio Pagan has been the 4th highest win percentage added Guardian, and he plays for the Twins. I think Naylor, Jose, and Andres are the only 3 hitters, only 3 players better than him in WPA for the Guardians.
Yes, Emilio Pagan, Twins reliever, is the 4th most valuable Cleveland Guardian in terms of win probability added. It is absolutely amazing. I had to take those shots. They're so deserved.
Yeah. Thank you for the for mentioning that. I should have put that in my notes. So four honorable mentions on stars and for the week. I wrote down Naylor for the memes. It wasn't a great week for Naylor in the last seven games since we recorded. 14 games even has been longer since we've actually have recorded. But I mean, the big home run last night, just the cojones on him, you know, to come out and say, I'm not trying to hit a single, I'm trying to hit a home run. And then someone actually went deeper into the MLB.com article from Manny Bell and found that he told his teammates to take it easy on his leg when they came around to celebrate his home run. Like heading out to go take the at bat and say, hey, careful of this leg. It's still tingy. I need you to be careful because I'm gonna go knock this dong out. You know, that's some cojones from Josh. So, but
that sounds a love about Josh Naylor, man.
Josh Naylor is Josh Naylor. The other honorable mention was Emmanuel Clase. Last 14 since we recorded, six games, six innings pitched, five games finish out of those six. He's faced 18 batters, only allowed three hits, gotten six Ks, and all those five games that he finished, he got five saves. The only one, I think he got a win possibly in the game that he didn't finish. Is that correct? I don't know. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, he's been lights out, as you expect from your closer, who's done everything and anything that anybody could ask, and was absolutely worth the 18 innings of Corey Kluber that the Rangers logged. As well as whatever salary we took for Delano DeShields. So Clase has been absolutely just lights out for the Guardians. And amongst, if he's not the most elite relief pitcher, definitely in the top five in the game right now. Anything to say about Clase?
He has to be getting pretty close to being one of the most dominant relief pitchers out there, and he's so young and he's still learning, and
he's going to be here for years.
That's exactly it.
So yeah, super nice to have. So moving on to scrubs, my scrub of the week, unfortunately it appears as though the carriage might have turned back into a pumpkin for one Mr. Owen Miller. Last 7 games, days, slashing, 105, 191, and 105, meaning that no extra base hits, one RBI in the last 7 days. If you want his last 14, since we, recorded last, 233, 231, which I have no idea how you have a lower on base percentage than your walks.
He reached on an error somewhere in there.
Yeah. Anyway, 463 slugging, two RBI in the last 14 games. And he of the, amongst the league leaders in sacrifice flies, only one in the last 14 days for Owen Miller. As I said, it's starting to look a little bit like the carrot turned into a pumpkin. Just haven't been able to see this extra adjustment that he's made, losing at bats to Josh Naylor, losing at bats to Franmil Reyes, however that might end up working out. But he's not getting those second base starts over, you know, against left-handers over Andres. It's a strict platoon with him and Naylor at this point, and I don't mind that so much, but there are guys that are knocking at the door in AAA, and Owen's starting to look a little on the bullseye there. So anything you have on Owen Miller here?
you know you're having a rough time when you're losing at bats to a guy with a nearly 50% K rate in Franmil Reyes. That's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, it's not been great, and his defense has been down too, and that was something that's been a little, you know, elite for him, and keeping him in much like Miles Straw, keeping him in the lineup is his defense and center. And Francona has come out and said that many a time. That's why you can't, you know, let him sit, let him rest, let him get his head right. They need his defense out in center field. If Owen's not defending well, and he's not hitting the way he is, it's only gonna get worse for his at bats going forward. And like I said, there are guys that are knocking, that are ready to come up and show what they can do. And, you know, Nolan Jones and Will Brennan and even possibly George Valera, something like that. So it's looking like it might be time to try to make a move here, but we'll see. Who is your scrub, Ethan?
I hate to do it because I've been a big proponent of his since the season started. I just think there's something so fun about him and his new role, but my scrub of the week is going to be gifted to one Eli Morgan, who did not have a great 2 weeks. I originally just pulled his number since the podcast would have last recorded, which would have been the 24th, but since we were off, I went back and pulled them for the two-week span. It didn't make it better. In 1 week, so this past week, getting back to the 24th, Eli appeared in two games. He gave up 4 runs. He only faced 10 guys, and 3 of them got extra base hits. He had an ERA of 13.5. Not doing so hot. But if you go back 2 weeks, he played 4 games. He gave up 5 runs. Guys are slashing 350, 381, 850 against him since June 17th. And he's got an ERA of 10.38. So somewhere along the line, either hitters have adjusted to his changeup, or he is just not mixing it well. He's given up a couple of clutch home runs, and the Eli Morgan magic has run dry the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, there was some sort of tweet that I saw saying that Twins hitters admitted that they're waiting for the changeup to come. They're fouling off fastballs. They're fighting for singles or whatever, and then just sitting on the changeup as it comes. And as nice as the Pitching Ninja calls it, the bunny hop changeup.
The Bugs Bunny changeup.
The Bugs Bunny changeup. There you go. It's just, yeah, it's flat right now. I think it's a pitch mix because the pitch still looks good. So I don't know if it's a, you know, need to throw a slider, need to work in a more fastballs, something, but the changeup is just they have admitted that they are sitting on it now, which is when they know what's coming, that's, you're losing all your advantage as a pitcher.
He probably does need to work in the slider a little bit more. The usage of the pitch is down almost 10% year over year from last year. And I think when the change is not working, and we know he can hit 93, 94 when he first comes out of the bullpen, but by the time he gets to 20, 30 pitches, it starts flattening out to that 90 to 92 range again, which is part of why I really like him in that role, because with the increased velocity, that changeup is so deadly. But if guys are going to be sitting on the changeup, then he's got to get that slider going. He's got to find a way to change planes and get guys to chase outside of the zone, right, away from them and not just below the knees.
Yeah. I like him being a fireman two-inning guy, but if they need to pull him back and use him just in one inning, that's something that could be done too, because it's a lot of that's starting to happen in that second go around, you know, not necessarily second or third time through the order, but he's not pitching that much. But that's why he got moved to the bullpen, and that's what he needs to be doing, is facing, he doesn't need to be getting to 20 or 30 pitches. He needs to be in the teens and 20 max and getting out. So Honorable mentions for Scrubs. These are guys we don't want to say, and it pains me to say because I labeled him as ace of the staff. Tristan McKenzie has just not been, he's been victimized by the long ball lately, all season, but it's been worse as of late. Five home runs in his last 10.1 innings pitch. Only 12 Ks against his last 49 batters. I was looking at his swinging strike numbers. They're low when you look at the elite guys. His swinging strike rate is like 14%, 13%, something like that. That's not up near the like 20s, 28 that you might see from guys like Bieber or Dylan Cease and stuff like that. But it's still livable, still something that you can see him having success with because he's had success this season, and it's not much different from earlier in the year. But just leaving stuff middle, and same kind of thing that with Eli. I don't know if it's the pitch mix or something, but because he can look dominant in the start, and all of a sudden the rails are off, and it's back-to-back home runs down by four. And this is not a team that has the firepower to come back on it. So what are your thoughts on Tristan?
His last start was more that he was just hanging those breaking pitches right in the middle of the plate. And you can't get away with that no matter who you're facing. He'd been kind of lucky in some of these other starts in the stretch where it was just a solo shot here and there, and the offense could compensate for it. He did not get that lucky last time out. He was giving them up with guys on base, and it was not a pretty go-around.
Yeah. Hopefully he gets to turn it around and gets some more command on his pitches. He has his velo numbers have been decent and good. We've been mentioning all year that he was the one that hit the higher end of his velocity earlier than anybody else. And I would almost rather he sacrifice a little bit of velocity if he has his command a little bit better going forward. I also wanted to mention horribly, just again, God love him. I call him my main man, Miles. But just, as I said, Captain America, ice cold. Last 7 days... 136 batting average, 208 on base, 182 slugging. Over his last 14 days, you can hear my dog with her toy now because I got a new microphone. Last 14 days for Miles Straw, same 136 batting average, 225 OBP, 0.205 slugging. Awful. I was watching on the game day today. As I was listening to it on the radio. They have the hot and cold zones in the strike zone, and just way too much blue on there for Miles Straw. The only area of even slight pink was the bottom right quadrant of the strike zone for him as a right hand batter. Meaning he's just shooting things the other way. There's no pull in his swing at all. He's just not able to get anything to his power side. Everything, any hit that he's getting is going up the middle, off to right field, which is fine. And you know, you hear when guys are going through slumps, you know, start heading up the middle, start shooting it to the other side. It's just not like there's no oomph behind Miles' swing, and he was never a big power hitter to begin with, but. The contact just isn't there right now for Miles, and his K rate is through the roof for a guy that who is known for being so elite at that, and why he was leading off and why they extended him and all those things. But he's just not happening for Miles at this point in time. I was saying I can foresee a bruised ego IL stint showing up here soon. That might be necessary, and let him kind of gather himself back up against some inferior pitching in the minors for a little bit, and let him come back up. But what do you think about Miles?
I will say In his defense, his K-rate is skyrocketing from where it was in April, but it's still the lowest K-rate of his career so far. And you touched on it earlier. You still need his elite defense out there. And even for Miles, he's never going to hit that home run that's going to get him going again. For him, it's just getting back into his game. And today might have been a good start. You know, he was 1-for-2 with a 2 RBI single / throwing error, and he drew 2 walks. That's the kind of game you really want to see from Miles. That's going to get him back, you know, to a better part of the lineup where he can really use his speed, get on base. Because even if he draws walks, he's still a threat.
Yeah, and I do like the lineup construction that Francona uses, because he does this a lot, where he has that pseudo leadoff guy at 9 to help give his leadoff guy, his actual leadoff guy, number 2 guy, RBI opportunities. And I think Miles can do that while he's in this spot right now. But go ahead.
But the one thing that really needs to happen is Tito's got to get over this not starting Kwan against lefties thing and just accept that Kwan might be an acceptable substitute center fielder if Straw needs to take a 2-week mental health break. Because we've seen Kwan make incredible plays in the corner outfield spots. Diving catches, great throws. I mean, he was advertised as a pretty well above average defender, and he's been that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he keeps getting benched against lefties, which I don't understand, because he's hitting almost 300 against them on the season.
Right.
Which is mind-blowing to me. He's actually slightly worse against righties, but he starts against every righty.
Right. Exactly. Just that's a little bit of law of large numbers. You have a bigger sample size, so he's going to hit a little bit worse, but...
But when he does face a lefty, he's fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that platoon idea is coming, especially when it means sometimes Clement is in the lineup, who, he's fantastic with a bat in his hands. It doesn't matter who he's picking. There's no sarcasm in my voice whatsoever.
The big urn.
I think 80 grade day thrower, by the way, social
media follow. I can say absolutely the best as Josh Naylor levels of elite clubhouse guy.
Yes. And designated fielder. Do not give him a stick.
Yeah.
But like Francona has come around on Andres being the everyday second baseman, he just needs to sit down and look at Kwan's numbers too and just play him every day. There's no reason to be platooning him other than the lack of power. But Kwan's absolutely on fire in the month of June. He's still getting on base like a machine. If you need to sub him in at center field for 2 weeks and give Nolan Jones a chance, or hell, for all I care, call up George Valera, let him script AAA altogether. He's on 40. Give him a shot.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Speaking of, what a transition. Our last segment of the night, we're going to do, since it is almost July now, we're closing in on a trade deadline. We're going to probably see some moves, just necessitated by the fact that there's a glut of 40 people. There is a glut of people on the 40-man roster. There's the sentence that I wanted to say.
It was in there all along.
It was there, you know, it was in us all along. We were getting there. I wanted to look at just 3 moves you would want to make. It could be trades, it could be call-ups. I think we both have something along the lines of get the kids up. You said that was all your 3, I think, in our pre-pod conversation. So what were your 3 moves that you want to do? And if I have anything that's the same, I'll chime in.
So the first one is more of a setup move, and it's you got to dump the dead weight on the 40-man roster. and they've started to do that this past week. You know, they did kind of straw man moves with Tanner Tully and Ian Gebout. He has some strange pronunciation.
Gebout or something. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he came from the Rangers, but he pitched one game with Cleveland. And now he's with the Dodgers via the waiver wire. But those are the kinds of names that you need to start clearing out, the Kirk McCartys, the Tobias Myerses of the world, to make room for freshly called up guys like Logan Allen and Xavier Curry, who are going to be added in the near future. But those are also the kind of moves that free up, well, we had to give cash to Cincinnati for Sandy Leon, but promoted Bo Naylor to AAA, who's not on the 40-man, while Brian LaVestita is on the injured list, so... You need the space to make those kind of moves, and those are the kind of deadweight moves. And frankly, I have no idea how Tobias Myers was a top 30 prospect for the Rays after seeing some of his performances in the spring and what he's done so far in Columbus. That's been a bizarre bust.
Yeah, there's definitely some guys like that. To your point, I have a big trade at the top of it, and one of these guys would be involved in it, but I said call up Jones or Valera for Oscar Gonzalez. I think we're getting to that point. Like I said, we're ready to see some of the kids, and if you are maybe not for Oscar and it's for a Miles Straw, you know, injured list portion, and you have Oscar in left, Kwan in center, and Nolan Jones in right field, where he's been doing well in AAA.
I know Bodie's going to kill me for this one because he thinks his arm will be wasted, but if Owen Miller is going to continue to struggle like this and Josh Naylor is going to continue to be very, very tender with that leg, Nolan Jones was third base. That defense will translate to first. So if Oscar continues to play well and you need just a better bat in the lineup, Nolan can probably play first without too much of an issue.
Yeah, I can see him playing first. They've been using him in right field since he came back from the injured list. So I don't see them using him in major leagues at first base straight out, but it's definitely we've been trying to figure out for years where Nolan Jones is going to play, and if it ends up being first base, it can be first base. But there's an option out here. So what are some more of your moves? I think you got two left, possibly. Unless you've combined some of them, I'm not sure.
No, you've got to get in some combination both Valera and Jones up this year. Even if it's just a September cup of coffee for Valera, Nolan should be up here probably sooner rather than later. He's having a really good start to AAA. He's not showing any signs of any issues from the ankle surgery, and he's still one of Cleveland's top five prospects. I think the plan is to get him in the lineup as soon as somebody starts slipping enough to deem it worthy that it's his turn.
Right.
Which was the expectation for the season. When we sat down with Zach Meisel preseason, that was something he told us. It was going to be a revolving door of bodies while the team figured out who was part of the future and who wasn't. And we're in the middle of that, and the team just keeps winning despite that, which is incredible in and of itself. But
yeah, and we've talked about it before. Guys like Oscar Gonzalez absolutely should have been – I had every expectation it was going to be a – 2-week audition and a DFA on the way out, or, you know, an option back to AAA and organizational filler. He's struggled a little bit in the last couple weeks, but he's doing all right, and he's doing okay, and he's creating himself some trade value, or, you know, some sticking power in the lineup. We would have thought that he would have been gone by now, but he's a guy that's stuck around. So yeah, to your point, the revolving door is getting stuck a little bit more than what we thought. So my big trade that I had mentioned, I was speaking with on Twitter with Quincy Wheeler about just some of the trades that happened. Somebody tweeted out the anniversary of the Bartolo Colon trade that netted the then Indians Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, and Brandon Phillips. And he had something of a package that was similar to what I have here. This is a big time move and a big time package of players going out. But to get both these guys, I think, sets you up not only for this year, but for the near future as well. Swing a trade for Brian Reynolds and David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Just reverse the pipeline. Just grab the switch and just pull it back. The Guardians prospects, Indians and Guardians, go down to Pittsburgh to send us some of those guys back. We will send you Daniel Espino, Nolan Jones, Brian Rocchio, and Will Benson. Those are three of the top, I think even five, probably, prospects in the Guardians farm system. But I think we've seen some breakouts from guys like Xavion Curry and Gavin Williams and the one and only Logan Allen that might be pushing guys like Espino down after his injury. We're seeing Tyler Freeman put it together in AAA a little bit better than what we thought. The power numbers aren't right there, but he's all of a sudden walking like great. I'm pitching this as a, yes, we are giving up good prospects, but we are getting a guy in Brian Reynolds who is coveted across the major leagues and probably the best reliever on the bullpen market in David Bednar. So what do you think about my fake trade here?
I would be lying if I said I didn't mute myself to wince a little bit out loud at just that prospect package. I'm pretty in on acquiring Bednar. He's a bullpen hand that, frankly, Cleveland could really use another one like him. But Reynolds, man, he's going to be a free agent in 2026. So, yeah, you get him for a couple of years. I would want the guarantee that he'd be willing to re-sign or extend himself for a few years beyond that. He's 27 already. When he hits free agency, he'll be 31. So he's not the most spring chicken kind of guy to give up that kind of prospect capital for in Valera and Espino, who two guys I've been highest on of any prospect.
I didn't put Valera in there. Espino, yes. It was Espino, okay. Jones, Rocchio, and Will Benson.
See, I still don't like Rocchio either because he's starting to get last year's Bo Naylor treatment where he's having a down year at the dish and people are starting to write him off. But look at what Bo's done this year.
Right.
But my big issue with Reynolds is that he's already expressed his interest that he doesn't want to stay in Pittsburgh beyond the time that he's already tied to them. And if he doesn't want to stay there with O'Neill Cruz, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Leover Peguero, and the rest of the prospects that they have climbing up that farm, Ransy Contreras is in the rotation. They've got Henry Davis, who's one of the next great catchers in baseball, allegedly down in the minors. They've got Quinn Priester, who's going to be an allegedly really wicked starter one of these days. If he doesn't want to stay with that talent, why would he want to stay in Cleveland? I just have this feeling that he's got his eyes set west on a big LA market and a big LA contract.
Yeah. You have the, for this year, I don't know that there's many more hitters that are better than Reynolds out there. And I'm almost sure there are no bullpen arms that are out there that are better than Bednar. And not only would the team be looking at a winnable division, but you're also taking those players off of the market from other teams getting them as well. You don't have Boston picking up Bednar and helping out their bullpen. You don't have a team like like the angels who are just loathly awful with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani going after Brian Reynolds. You know, you don't have anybody else acquiring those guys. You are taking them off the market. So,
and that's fair. You would just have to know that your window is those 3.5 years that you would have,
Brian, which it is. I mean, that's what we have Jose signed for, you know, as before it starts, before he starts getting real expensive. And you add guys like Valera in, you add guys like Tyler Freeman in, and yeah, you're pretty much there. That's, you know, you get some of the chuffa of the rotation of Savali and Plezak out of here and put in the one and only Logan Allen. You put in Gavin Williams or Gattis or Xavion Curry, and you're looking at a roster that's still extended beyond that window, but you also have that high-end talent there. So, all right, give me your last move, and then I will nominate the last trade for the WFMI Cornercast here.
Oh, I just wanted to reiterate, call up Coach Byron. It's time.
Okay.
He's absolutely slaying it in AA. I understand that you have Will Brennan and Benson in AAA Columbus, and Nolan Jones is playing right field there right now, but, like, call it up to the majors.
Yeah, you guys keep saying that, you and Bodie keep saying in their Discord. I don't think there's any way that they call up Valera before Jones or even Brennan. But
no, they're never going to start that clock early. But my whole argument now is that the whole we've ended player manipulation service time.
Right.
But we're still not going to call up O'Neill Cruz till the day after the Super 2 deadline passes.
Right.
That's passed. Just call him up.
Yeah. As for the last trade, as I mentioned in our pre-podcast, we here at the WFMI Cornercast, we don't have many obligations on us, but there is one contractual obligation that we do have, and it is that we mention Sean Cake Murphy at least once a week. And the required trade, you have to give up, have to trade for Cake Murphy. And trading Ahmed Rosario, despite the fact that he's been very good at the dish lately and decent enough. And if he's league average defensively at shortstop and hitting the way that he has been, I don't want to trade him. But if you can add to your catcher room with Sean Murphy, you absolutely have to make that deal. Ahmed Rosario, send them Will Benson, send them Will Brennan, send them Alex Call, whoever you want, AAA. Just keep your hands off of Nolan Jones or Valera. But getting Cake Murphy for Ahmed seems to be a no-brainer of no-brainer deals that Oakland should do. And we can just call it in if they want. Do you want to just call it into the league office and have them do that? I think we could do it, right?
We probably could. I think we have that authority.
We have that. That's fine.
I'm not saying we do or don't, but I'm also saying that you've never seen me and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred in the same room together.
Do you also hate baseball? Because he doesn't.
Oh.
I don't know if you knew this or not. He doesn't hate baseball.
Passionately. But I tell people on the outside that it's fine while I dismantle it from the inside. That's how you do it.
Yep. Okay.
Glad we got that off our chest.
There was some therapy worked out right there is what that was. So So I think we got a good episode. We're cutting in right around an hour. My dog is back now with a different toy. So this is where we're gonna cut it off. I'm sure you can hear all these squeaks on the podcast. Guys, take care of yourselves, take care of others. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. This is Gio Gerb signing off for the WFMI Cornercast. Goodbye.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.